Okay, we're on the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Bet. So the Mishnah says as follows: Hamotzei Peirot Baderech Unitalan Laachlan. If someone is walking along and he finds fruit that's been thrown on the side or lost, and he took it to eat it, v'nimlach latznia, then he changes his mind and decides that he's going to put it in a protected place, in a safe place. Lo yatznia ad shiaser. So then he's not allowed to do that until he gives maaser. Now, you're not allowed to just leave it on the side of the road, as we'll see. We're definitely in a place where it's going to be trampled, because it's a violation of the laws of protecting food and the like. So if he decided to store it, to put it in a place where it's not going to be trampled, or on a side place where it's going to be possibly eaten by others, so he has to give maaser. Now here we're talking about something that is demai, so it must have had something that already had gmar melacha. Now when you took it, you were kone through hakbah, and therefore when you leave it, so you are giving up control, and that's a kinyan. As we saw previously, you're not allowed to do that until you give chumot and maaser, and that's the marafolda says asher lahotzi miyado davar she'eino mitukan. Now, others say, no, this isn't about Kenyan. So if you look, for example, in the Bnei Moshe, it says, right? This is not that you wanted to get rid of it. it's not that you're leaving it for other people. Maybe you're leaving it for yourself, but you're worried. But if you hold on to it for a long time, the Rashi really makes it clear it's been a beito. This must be a case where you know there had been gmar malacha riyat pnei abayit, and therefore before, meaning before it was hefker, and therefore it is chayav in hafrasha. But if at the beginning you only took it just, right, not to acquire it, but you simply moved it so that it wouldn't get ruined, right, with no intention to acquire it, right, Marfolda says, right, very simply, right, without kavanah lizkot bahen, so then, because you didn't pick it up with the kavanah to be konet, you don't have that responsibility, as the Rashi says, ma'aser din shalo. It's just not yours. You want to give it back to the owners. But if you were going to give it to someone else, then you would indeed have to be mafresh. Now, anything that a person isn't allowed to sell while demai, lo yishlach lechaver demai. So as we saw, it's not just selling you can't do with demai, it's transferring reshut. And therefore, you can't do that, not whether you're giving as a kinyan, not as a gift. Now, again, it may only be that this is by a small quantity, by a large quantity, maybe you can, just like we saw by Kinyanim, and that's what the Mara Fulda says right here, that this is Bidaka Voshalech Bigasa. Rabbi Yossi Mater Bivadai Ubilvad Shiodienu. But Rabbi Yossi says that by Vadai, you're allowed to give a gift, as long as you tell them. Demai is one thing, right? Because there, maybe we're more machmir, but vada, you can give it. I was thinking about this a lot today, just because I went cherry picking with my kids and with one of our friends' kids, and then we later on divided up what was tevel, right? Because it wasn't even demai, it was vadai. Now it was slightly different, obviously, because I wasn't kona all of it and then give it to them. Like we picked it up with the intent originally to be machalek. But yeah, I told him the second, you know, by the time I got to my house 2 minutes later, the father had called me and just said, okay, just making sure that this is Tevel Vaday, to be mafresh, right? So what Ryosi is saying is, look, by Tevel Vaday, people are going to take it really, really seriously. And that's exactly what indeed happens when people know halacha. So the Gemara then says, why would you do this? Why would you pick up this fruit? So Tani, Ein ma'virin ala ochlin. The reason is because you're not allowed to just pass by food and leave it there, because it's a bizayon to food. It's just degrading to food, and you aren't allowed to do that. So Yaakov Barzav Yishmiyabo Ademar Barishona. This was only originally when people weren't commonly doing magic, but in the time of the Gemara. And I don't want to get into the whole machloket, right? But as you know, the Rambam doesn't believe in magic. The Rambam thinks there is magic, but it's usur. Rav Hirsch says that he's not going to get his, you know, it doesn't really matter to him, right? And his attitude is you shouldn't care so much. But whatever it is, the Gemara says of Alachshav Mutar Mebnei Akshavim. Nowadays, because people do magic with bread, with food, so it is mutter to leave the food. Because apparently it would ensnare people who would step on the food. I mean, you don't have to put your life in danger. And the Rosh Rilio notes that in the relevant Sugan Erevin on Samach Daled, which says the same thing, it says that is only by whole loaves of bread. But apparently, don't ask me what this means, by slices of bread, magic, you can't do magic with slices of bread. Don't ask, I don't know. So then the Gemara cites a Mishnah and a Braita, which are going to create a question on the Mishnah's halacha that someone who picked up produce that you threw on the side, right, that we said that there are cases in which you acquire it and cases in which you don't, and when you don't acquire it, so then you don't have to be mafresh. The Gemara says, Taman taninan. In Bava Kamma, we learn that Aufechet Agalal b'Rishut Rabim, if someone finds dung in Rishut Rabim and turns it over, Vuzak ben Acher, when someone was hurt, he slipped on it in his new place. Chayev ben Isko, you're Chayev. And Tani Vasurin Mishum Gezel. And it's usur for anyone else to take this dung because you were Kona. And the Marfolder says, Shekana na Hofech. The one who turned it over was Kona. Now Tosfot in Bava Kamma Chaf Tet says, well, what Kenyan was this? So one possibility, he says, normally Hagbah needs to be three Tvachim off the ground. So he says, maybe that's only when you have Kavana to do Hagbah three Tvachim off the ground. But if you did it, but if you just rolled it over and had Kavana, maybe that would be enough. Or maybe by Hefker, he says, even Chavata, like hitting it is fine. Or he put it in his Kalim, or like he picked up in his shovel, and the shovel was Koneh. Or he picked up with his hand, and when you pick something up in your hand, it's kona less than four tvachim because your hand is like reshut. So all these different possibilities. The point is that you were kona. So now kahana amar v'ushavcha menat lezakotba. But this is only in a case when you turned it over with intent to be kona, as I just said with the four ways that we just said. Avalim havcha menat shel olizkotba. But if he specifically turned it over without intention to be kona, lo bida. So it remains ownerless, and someone else can take it. But that's in terms of whether you own it. Ule inyan nizakin loshna. But for damages, there's no differences because it takes on the status of bor, presumably. And as we talked about extensively in the first parak of Psachim, there are two things in halacha, where even though halacha you don't own them, we say that it's as if you own them for the purpose of liability, namely, mainly chametz on Pesach and bor b'shur ha-rabim. And if you remember, we spent a long time on the implications of it, specifically in the chametz sugya, of whether if you don't really own it, is that why bittul doesn't really need to be hefker? It just needs to be a you indicating that you don't want reshut over it, etc. So here l'chumra, we have bor b'shur ha-rabim, where we make it as if it's yours, even though it's not yours. To make you liable, right? And the Rashi just says it very succinctly. Right? If I was clearing the place, so, and I had no intention of taking it, so other people take it, it's not theft, but I'm still chayev in nezek. Because again, bor b'shur ha-rabim doesn't require actual ownership. It's ki'ilu. So the Gemara says, v'hachad amar achein. So now we return to ours. Um, We say, look, in the case of the dung in Rishut HaRabim, you become liable for the damages like a boar, even though you had no intention to be konet. And yet here, in the case of Demai, we say that if you pick it up without intent to be konet, then you have no... Now, it's interesting, the Gemara sort of blurs the lines of liabilities. You have no liability, you have no responsibility. Now, again, it's not monetary liability. It's liability because you caused someone to violate an Isser. So what's the difference? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Taman, Chziv, and the Gemara says, no, that's exactly the point, because boar is Exerda Kaduv, Bala Bor Yishalem, Bala Nezek Yishalem, that the owner of the boar, quote-unquote owner, right, as we've said, the not real owner, he has to pay, right? It is ownership for this, and even though you don't really own it, Nezikin is unique. Bramacha Aser Ta'aser. However, and this comes back to the question we asked by Pesach when it says that Shnai, right, the simple way the Gemara says it in the Bavli is Shnei Dvarim Eina B'Shurto Shal Adam, Asana Katuv Kilo Eina B'Shurto Shal Adam. Two things are non Yerushut, make it as if they are in Yerushut, but they're not in Yerushut. So for Nezek, you don't need actual ownership, you need Kilo ownership. Bram Hacha. But when it comes to being able to give Maaser, Aser Taser, Mishal Chata Maaser, Eina Tamaser Mishal Achirim, you're not able, it doesn't work, you can't give Maaser for other people. From that which is not yours, and therefore they are not parallel halacha. Now, the Mefarshim say, oh, well, why? And this is in the Chazon Ish, so why aren't you chayv midin lifnei iver or something like that? Well, the answer is that ritual problem was there before. The person could have picked it up and accident and had tefel, had to mine, whatever exactly the case may be. So if you were konet, so now it's in your rishut, you have a higher level of responsibility. But if you weren't konet, so it was there already, right? You don't suddenly, just because you happen to encounter it, unless you're konet, you are not more responsible for it. It's just, you know, you're as responsible as you were before, right? Which is not. So now the Gemara goes to the next part of the Mishnah. Called Davar Shein Adam Rashai Le'Rochol Demai. Anything you aren't allowed to sell, demai lo yishlach lechaveru demai. You can't send as a present. So mid adaka shein adam rasha lemachot demai lo yishlach lechaveru demai. A small amount you can't sell, so you can't give as a gift. Mid agazim rasha lemachot demai, but a large amount which you can yishlach lechaveru demai. Then you can send it as a gift. And Rabbi Yosi mati ravadai ben daka ben gazim ozer b'demai b'daka. Now the Gemara goes to Rabbi Yosi and clarifies that Rabbi Yosi says that's only by demai, by tevel. Doesn't matter how much you send, a little bit or a large amount, because people treat vadai tevel more chamor. As long as you tell them it is vadai tevel, they will be mafresh, and therefore you can be mekel. But again, that's only by vadai, not by demai. And why is it that by demai we let you sell or gift a large amount, but not a small amount? So if you remember, we had seen before two reasons. The Rabbi La said the reason that we put the onus of giving maaser on demai on the one who we put the onus on the one who benefits. So by a small amount, the seller has high profit margin, and therefore he has to pay the trumot and maaserot, pay the maaserot, whereas by a large amount, by wholesalers, the benefit is to the buyer. Now, if that's the, right, we saw the other possibility was that it was about heaping, right, and how precise the measurements are. But now the Gemara says, but wait a second, if that's the svara, that we put the onus on whoever is benefiting, so why should we compare gift giving, where the benefit is all on the person receiving it, to gifts, to sales? So Rabbi Bashem Rabbi Yochanan Bnei Gedero Tiru Demai Begasa. So the reason that we let you sell demai in large measures is because they wanted to enable the seller to maintain his status of a chaver, du matnita, which is clear from our Mishnah. Right, so here Rabbi Avo says the main reason wasn't just who was benefiting. If we always made the seller chayav, it would discourage him from becoming a chaver, right? businessmen would never want to become chaverim because they have all these responsibilities. And therefore, we were makel by wholesalers, but by a gift, this doesn't apply. Why not? Because, okay, you can't afford to give the gift and give the Shulam Meister, so just don't give it, right? We want chaverim to be able to be businessmen, or businessmen to be able to be chaverim. And therefore, we were makel in certain cases to allow the seller to not have to be chayev in giving the Meister. But again, by a gift, so okay, you can't afford the gift plus the Meister, so don't give it at all. It doesn't matter, right, to us. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Sale Tenim Vesale Anavim, Vekubol Sheriyark, if you have baskets of figs, grapes, or vegetables, Kol Zman Shum Mokhran Achsira, as long as you sell them by estimate, Pater, you're exempt. Now, the reason is, again, we said, because when you sell by an estimate, then the benefit tends to go to the buyer, and therefore the onus is on the buyer. Now, this is not necessarily the case. It's usually the case. So you see that it must be that it's not just about this, but there's also, right, in addition to the estimation problem, and who's benefiting, there was this overarching thing that we want businessmen to feel comfortable becoming chaverim, right? And now, since we compare estimation to large amounts, where again it's a case in which the buyer is benefiting more, so that evidences, right, this idea that at least in sale cases we benefit, we put the onus on the person who's benefiting. If Rabbi Yossi agrees with the Tanakama, so then maybe he wants to be makel by both, by gifts of Vaday Tevel . I mean, what we see here is that Rabbi Yossi is giving, right, even though things are by estimation go on, normally benefit the buyer, they don't always. The fact that he's always makel, it must just mean, right, again, that there's this overarching thing that by sales we are more makel, and if that's the case, then gifts might be different. Now, but also, since Rabbi Yossi allows sales by estimation and large amounts of demai, right, of gifts of demai, so if Rabbi Yossi agrees with the Tanakama by gifting of demai, then he must be makel by tevel, allowing vaday tevel completely, as long as you make them aware of it, because he lines up with that position. No, sorry, let me try that again, right? Meaning, he looks at the similarity to wholesaling, right? He doesn't look at necessarily whether something needs to, in principle, be exactly like it and always benefit the buyer, right? He says, well, estimation is similar to wholesaling, so maybe a large gift is also similar to wholesaling, and therefore he's going to treat all of those similarly, and that's how we get to the position that we'd be making, at least by gifts and large gifts, because we compare them conceptually. Okay. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Shalach l'Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Etrog, Rabbi Yossi sent me an Etrog. V'amar li zeba Biyadi miKesarin. He said, I got this from Kesaria. And the Boshloshadvaram, from him I learned three halachot. One, Shuvada, that it was definitely Tevel. Shu Tame, and it was Tame. Shloba Biyadacher. And that he didn't have a second Estrog from which he could be mafresh Trumon Maestro on my behalf. On behalf of this Estrog. How did he know? Shuvada, Shuvada, Kesarin Vada. He knew it was Vada because it came from Kesaria, and the majority of farmers in Kesaria were non-Jews. Again, according to the Shita, that Yesh Kenyan, Ein Kenyan Lakam of Kia. So therefore, that which is in Eretz Yisrael is Chayav. And he wasn't going to be Mafresh, and therefore it must be Vaday. Alternatively, Tosfot would suggest that maybe it was grown by a Jew in Kesaria. Two, shoot, Tameh Jamaican of Mayim. How do I know it was Tameh? Because in Kesaria, it just was the practice that people would spray the Etrogim before exporting it to prevent wilting. Now that's Hechsher Tuma, right? Hechsher Lekabel Tuma, that once something becomes moist intentionally, or it became moist not unintentionally, but I liked it, I agreed with it. Yutan Dum Dechi Yitain. So it is mikabel toma. So this means it's a roi lekabel toma. Chazi David says no, it's not just that it was roi lekabel toma; it actually became tamei, right? Because once it was mikabel roi lekabel toma, so then the non-Jewish farmers touched it and made it tamei. The Rosh Tzolil'in and the Maror Fold to say no, it just means that it was roi. Right, he says klomer v'evi mukhshar, and therefore you should be careful. Now, Tosfot asks, how did Rabbi Yossi know? Maybe he was only telling this grown Kisaria so that he would know it was Tummy. How did he know that he also hadn't given Maestro? And Tosfot said, well, if he wanted to say that, he would have said it, right? Meaning, if he had only had, if there was one only one halachic implication to a growing to Kisaria, so then he would have said, it is not had Truma and Maestro given from it. Or it is But it, once you say that it's from Caesarea instead, that's because there's a whole host of halachot that go along with that, and that is why he knew that. Now, Shalom Bab Yerachar, how do we know that he didn't have another etrog? She'ilu Bab Yerachar, Masrim Elzeh, because if he had one, then he would have been mafresh to follow the Zakonet Rabbanu, the Onsen Tevel, as a gift. So the Gemara says, V'yashamin olav, why doesn't he take a piece of the etrog itself to as an etrog? Now Tosafot says, what do you mean? The reason he couldn't cut off a piece and give it as maaser is because you need it to be shalem for the first day of Sukkot. So Tosafot says, no, don't worry about it. It must be that we're dealing with a case in which it was, this was after the first day, and then chaser is okay. Right, so if I just read you Tosa, this is an Avodah Zarah and Tedvim. Tomer came, my high the Kamar Badrachi, the Aserman will love. Hey, Chiochel Aserman, who came and choose Sukkot. How could you do it? It's Sukkot. The Yishom, the Cholchamod Mayri, it's in Cholomoed, Kinamrina, like we say in Lamed Vav in Sukkot, the Rechanina Matbov and Nafik, Shal Babi Yato, Kershim Babi Yato, Achel Yamodielo, etc., etc. I'm fine. So then the Gemara says, So give Meiser from it on itself to Chashal the Barakapar, the Barakapar Amar, and Yachman Adam, Shalom Lavrein Dvarim Chasirim. And he says, no, because the rabbi said you're not supposed to send people things which are not full. It's just not proper etiquette. Or alternatively, in case of need, we waive the Yisr of giving a gift of Tevel, and because it's just, you know, wrong to just send people, you know, things with holes cut out of it. So therefore, we are makel on that. V'lav matanito he. So the Gemara says, isn't this our Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi matar bavadai bavachu yedienu. That Rabbi Yossi says you can send something as vadei tevel as long as you tell them that's what you're doing. So he says, if that's the case, how do you know that he needed to send a tevel because he didn't have another etrog? Maybe he was just relying on Rabbi Yossi. So he says, no, because he said, even though Rabbi Yossi held that in theory, because the Chachamim disagreed, he never actually sent something that was Tevel Vadai. And therefore, the fact that he sent it, nevertheless, it must be that the only reason he was allowed to do that was because he had no other choice. Now, just to finish up the Mishnah, on top of Chavtad, Omar Lev, Lo Rebbe Hitter Kesarin. But didn't Rebbe say Kisari is Mutter, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Kodom, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel came before Rebbe, that this time, no wait, no, sorry, I skipped a line. So Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira bai kumir Rabbi Yosef, elo mi perchim mutarn be Kisarin ha. He, isn't it from Kisaria, which is, and as we saw later on, Rebbe said Kesari is not part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it doesn't need Maestro. So he says, no. Amar Levi, a Rebbe hit their Kesari, and Rebbe was the one who came up with that position. Shimon Gamliel called him the Rebbe Have. Haya. Shimon Gamliel came before Rebbe, and therefore at that point, people were still treating Kesari as Usher. Hence, that exemption did not yet apply, and with that, we will finish, and I will see you guys on Sunday.